Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, our local radio station, broadcasting good news every day of the week from here in the Focus Centre in Saltcoats. I'm your host, the Reverend Alec B. Noble, local minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church, and boy do I have good news for you tonight, for this is the second in our two-part programme on Easter. Last week we celebrated the cross and Good Friday. Tonight, well, I'm sure you can guess what happens next, but try to imagine how it felt the first Easter. Here's Jamie Stewart with his Glasgow Bible version of the story, followed by Ian White to help us.
Early on the Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James went to the grave, taking sweet-smelling ointments to put on the body. But when they got close up to the tomb, the first thing they saw was that the huge stone had been moved out the way. They went in, kind of feared-like. All of a sudden, two men were standing in front of them. The women were terrified and couldn't even look up. The men said, "Tell us why you're searching among the graves for someone who's alive. He's no here. He's come back to life again. You know, even remember what he himself tell you when he was with you in Galilee, that the Christ must be handed over to evil men, nailed to the cross, and be raised to life again on the third day." Then, sure, they remembered what Jesus had told them. So they belted back in joy to Jerusalem and tell the 11 disciples and all the others, "He's alive! Jesus is alive!"
First day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
Rise. He has risen. Thank you.
try and feel the feelings of the folk involved. Later we can think about so what. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, some woman set off alone to go to a cemetery. Why? Because Jesus had been buried in a hurry in a borrowed grave just before the Sabbath, and the curfew kicked in. This was now the very first opportunity they had to come back and finish preparing Jesus' corpse to rest in peace according to their customs. However, when they got there, the tomb was empty, the body gone. Panic, confusion, fear, despair. Who stole his body? Why can't they let him rest in peace? Wasn't crucifixion enough for them? Others ran away, but Mary Magdalene finds herself standing all alone at the entrance to the tomb, weeping, distraught, gutted. Suddenly, Jesus, now risen from the dead, comes up behind her, but she doesn't recognize him. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he's the gardener, she replies, If you took him away, sir, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. There's grief speaking. What would she do with a corpse? Jesus says, Mary. Just one word, that's all, just her name, and instantly she whirls round. The greatest recognition scene ever. She says, Rabboni, which means teacher in Hebrew. Just one word too. Isn't it amazing how she recognized him in that one word, Mary? We do recognize our loved ones' voices when they say our name. But why did Mary not recognize Jesus before that? Maybe her eyes were full of tears. Maybe she was looking in the other direction. Certainly she wasn't expecting him to be alive after seeing him buried. In a split moment, her life turned around in every sense. Her sighing became singing. Her tears of sadness became tears of joy. Despair became hope. Grief became joy. What a turnaround we can all have in our griefs when we realize that the risen, living Christ is with us personally.
All the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet. As I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive.
That was Don Francisco singing He's Alive. Late on Easter Sunday evening, Jesus made a second appearance, this time to the disciples in the upper room, where only last Thursday they had eaten the Last Supper together. The doors were locked in case the Jewish authorities came to arrest them too, like their master. Suddenly Jesus was standing in the room, saying his familiar catchphrase, "Peace be with you." Imagine their surprise. He showed them his nail-pierced hands and his wounded side. With great understatement, the Bible records, the disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Unfortunately for Thomas, he was not with the disciples for some reason. So when he came back, they told him all about it. "We have seen the Lord." Not surprisingly, Thomas said, "Unless I see for myself the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Well, who can blame him? Poor soul, he's been dubbed Doubting Thomas ever since. But we would surely have said the same thing. It was a lot to take in, after all. We also tend to subscribe to the seeing is believing philosophy. Nobody's going to pull the wool over my eyes. And we tend to think that if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is too good to be true. The critics of poor Thomas point out that Jesus did give plenty of advance notice of his forthcoming resurrection. But on the other hand, none of the other disciples believed without actually seeing the proof of the risen Christ standing before their eyes. Even then, some hesitated. Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17, the 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, even though some of them doubted. However, a week later, Jesus made a special second visit to the upper room, just for Thomas's benefit. "Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is the climax of John's Gospel. Thomas the doubter becomes Thomas the worshipper and believer. No more doubts now. Here's Ian White singing, "Thine Be the Glory." Jesus again appeared to 7 disciples fishing in the Sea of Galilee. They had fished unsuccessfully all night until Jesus told them to put the net out on the other side of the boat. Suddenly there were too many fish for them to handle. Peter realizes it is Jesus and immediately jumps overboard and crosses the water to shore to meet Jesus. Echoes here of the time he got out of the boat and walked on the water with Jesus. What is amazing is to think that Judas could not forgive himself for betraying Jesus. And he went and hung himself. But Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, he's still running to meet Jesus. After Jesus had eaten some breakfast on the shore with the 7 disciples, he took Peter aside. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" Ouch, that hurt. Jesus was quoting Peter's brash boast back in his face. Spiritual surgery does hurt. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter stands naked, empty, guilty, humbled, repentant, passive, and yet uttering the ultimate words of devotion, saying the only thing that we can all say, the only thing Jesus wants to hear at this point, "I love you." And Jesus says, "Take care of my lambs. Peter, I want you back on board. I want you to help me, the good shepherd." 3 times Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" thus exorcising the haunting ghost of his 3 denials. Jesus also says the famous words which had started it all off, "Follow me." And Peter did for the rest of his life, even ending up a martyr crucified upside down in Rome. Peter was still not the perfect disciple. He had a long way to go. He had many rough edges. But he would get there by focusing on and following Jesus. Peter and ourselves are those for whom Jesus was born, lived, suffered, died, and rose again and reigns in heaven. And Peter is the example of what Jesus looks for in us, humble repentance. He wept bitterly, and acceptance of forgiveness, and focused love. "Lord, you know that I love you." Here's Ian White to sing, "And Can It Be?"
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, O my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. No condemnation need now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown through Christ my own.
2 other disciples, Cleopas and his friend set off for their home in the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles west of Jerusalem. They walked with heavy hearts and their chins drooping into their chests. The sun was setting and the shadows lengthening, and that was just how they were feeling. The future looked dark and gloomy. The light of their life, the light of the world, had gone out, cruelly extinguished, snuffed out. But as they trudged wearily homewards, we read that Jesus, now risen from the dead, sneaked up alongside them and engaged them in conversation. They did not recognize him. Maybe they were too preoccupied with their own grief. Maybe they were dazzled by the setting sun. Maybe they were just not expecting him. Anyway, Jesus gently touches their broken hearts and starts to put them together again. In the end, they recognize Jesus and exclaim, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us?" Jesus turned their sunset into a sunrise, their sighing into singing, their sadness into gladness. They immediately set off running, back to tell the other disciples the good news that Christ is risen. They in turn told others, and they told others, until here now Graham Kendrick is telling us, Christ is risen. The risen Christ appeared to many people over a 40-day period. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ appeared to Peter and then to all 12 apostles, then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once. Last of all, he appeared to me, Paul. Well, time does not allow us to go into further detail at this point, but tune in again to 3TFM, same time next week, for another enlightening, rousing, uplifting episode of the Holy Half Hour. Meanwhile, let's celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection and bounce back ability in him with Keith Getty and Stuart Townend's hymn, See What a Morning.